It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I'm your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, we bring you Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man? It's been a weekend. It's been a weekend, hasn't it?
It has.
The sun disappeared for a while. it's been nice. I spent some time on a range with the National Guard. And if people who know what I'm talking about, M4, M249, that's what I'm talking about right there, shooting guns.
All the 5.56.
And I'm exhausted. So,
those are long
but
days.
The Brewers are winning, the Bucks aren't, and here we go.
But they did today, so we got that at least. But
we have someone to talk about the Brewers.
Right. So to further boost everyone's spirits about the Brewers, we have Wendy Medeiros, and I'm hoping I'm saying your new name right, because we haven't talked. We haven't
yeah,
talked,
you crushed it. Yeah.
Since you gotten married, we have not had you on the show. You had a very busy year last year.
Last season, she was still Wendy Hansen.
Yeah.
I was. Yeah. Lots of changes.
Yeah. Season eight, she was still Wendy Hansen. Now she's Wendy Medeiros. Yes. Just to throw everybody off.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
a recurring character that happens once in a while here.
So. Yes. She's our local Brewers expert. We're very happy to have you. How are things? You are in the West. Right?
I am in the West now, yeah, Colorado Springs. It's going great. We had a long winter, which I hear back in Wisconsin. You guys didn't. It's been very dry out there.
Yeah, we were filling her in pre-show for anyone who, all of our Scotties outside of the state, we basically just had two springs. We're just into second spring now. Because
Wendy, I saw a mosquito
in February. No. Yes.
My singular hope is that it was like 70 degrees in like late February, early March. And then my hope is maybe all the ticks came out and then died when it went back down to 20. We'll see.
One could only hope.
Hey, so Colorado Springs, how do you like Old Town Colorado downtown there?
Oh, I love it. I actually was just down there the other weekend, and I was in a thrift store, actually, and I saw I saw multiple Wisconsin Badger sweatshirts, which I almost caved and got one. But yeah, I love Old Colorado City. Really, really cool.
Colorado Springs is a heck of a place. That's where my brother was stationed for a while. He's a Blackhawk pilot in the Army, and so he got married at Garden of the Gods. And I have made the drive to the top of Pikes Peak. I have never walked up there though. That's on the bucket list. So, but that's definitely God's Garden of the Gods. Is if you haven't been there, folks, don't go. Because the people of Colorado Springs want you to stay away.
You can come visit, just don't stay forever.
Yeah. Lots of good microbreweries out there, too.
So. I've heard there's a very large Wisconsin expatriate community in the Colorado area. I know a lot of people in that area.
So many. And there are so many Wisconsin like Packer bars, and it's wild. I run into, when I'm hiking, I'll run into someone wearing a Brewers or Packers hat every time.
All right.
It's not that far of a drive.
No. All right. Well, with all of that, we're going to start moving right into everything that we're going to talk about this week. And we're going to lead things off with our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
And since we have Wendy here specifically for our main event, we're talking Brewers. I think I flubbed this a little bit. We had something we were trying to get you on before the season started because we like doing our previews and just scheduling issues. We couldn't quite make that work, but we want to talk kind of full season look here. We've had some games. We had two exciting games the last 2 days with the Reds. That's going to be an incredible matchup for the next 7 years, I think.
Yeah. For sure.
De La Cruz and Encarnacion and that crew that they've got there with all the speed, and India is going to be there for a bit, I would think. And they've got Rojas.
Well, until it's consumed by the subcontinent.
The Dodgers.
No, I was talking about India, the country. Oh, you're talking about India, the player.
Yeah, yes. Jonathan, India.
Eventually, India will be consumed by the subcontinent of China. Anyways, but I think it's happy. It's happy good news that we had her after the season started, because Churio was such a unknown going into the season, and there was talk about him, you know, maybe it being called up too fast, maybe this 8-year, $82 million. And I think maybe 2 weeks in is actually a good time to have you on the show right now with a little introspective of how the season has started, because it's been good.
Yeah, let's start there with Churio. I mean, he's the biggest story coming in this year. Your thoughts initially and your thoughts coming into this year, what you were expecting with him.
I was so excited. He was definitely the player that I think I had my eye on the most, that I was most excited to see. Of course, there was so much, I think, lead up to it, just because he's so young. This is his first time in the majors. We, you know, signed him right off the bat without even having seen him play. So there was a lot of, I guess, just wondering how much he was going to live up to that potential. And man, that first game, he blew me out of the water. Like, he was stealing bases, he was hitting, he was fielding, he was doing all the things. And he's continued to do that to prove, you know, that he is a viable asset to this team. And I, you know, he's only getting started, which, barring, you know, hopefully no injuries, he's only going to continue to get better from here, I think.
So that contract too with him could potentially be dangerous. I remember when Miguel Sano first came up with the Twins, a lot of talk about around Twins territory was that, you know, lock up this guy right now for 8 years, $80 million, you know, and this is 5-6 years ago. And he ended up being a wash. And it was a lot of because he got too big. He was having a lot of lower body injuries and stuff like that. I think the Churio signing for 8 years out, I mean, he'll be 26 when this contract's done. And I'm sure that there's, I haven't looked, and I am not a lawyer like John, and I'm not, and I'm not smart like you, Wendy, but I'm sure that there's like some things like they can renegotiate things now, but I'm guessing he's 19 years old, 27 when he gets out of this. I mean, this is kind of a win-win for both. He could completely derail and make $80 million. But I think that this works out well. It's like a Dan Barrero question, John. Like, I'm not actually asking a question. I'm just talking about things. But like, this could be good. Like, they could get some of his best years at the end of this contract for cheap.
Yeah.
But, you know, but he got paid up front. He's 19 years old and made $80 million. That's a heck of a commitment and actually kind of a suave move. Potentially. Your thoughts.
Yeah. For a team that's been consistently by everybody who's mad that the Brewers don't have a World Series yet, call the Brewers cheap all the time, they paid for him. I think that's good. What are the other players on this team right now? I mean, like, coming into the season, what were the biggest ones you were looking for, seeing something from, and who were your biggest question marks, Wendy?
I was definitely excited to see Terang. A lot of the freshman class, honestly, there was so much talk about them, and even watching them perform during spring training. So Terang, Frelick was another one that I was really excited to see. I was really excited to see kind of what our pitching, our bullpen was going to do. You know, the Brewers obviously have been known for our pitching, especially the last 5 years or so. And this year it's going to be a little different. We don't have Burns, sadly, which I hear we may be playing. He may be starting on Sunday when we play Baltimore. Not for sure yet, but that's going to be interesting. And, you know, Woody, of course, is on the bench because he's hurt. So there's been a lot of changes with our pitching. And so I was interested to see how our guys were going to react to those changes and just the way that they were kind of going to integrate these new guys. And yesterday and today, I think we got to see a good example of what that might look like with these newer guys. Ashby was on the mound yesterday starting, which I think I, going into the season, I was really excited for him just because he has been known to be more of a bullpen guy, but he also is a crossover starter. So yesterday he really got to show that off. You know, we're not where we were in terms of pitching yet, but I think there's a lot of potential there. And Hoskins too. I was really excited to see Hoskins, and I think he's a good addition. I think he's definitely bringing that fire to this team.
Mixing it up versus right. The Mets right off the bat. That was fantastic.
Not only that, but no shot
at Roddy Tellez. I mean, Roddy Tellez, serviceable backup. I think he's on the Pirates now too. But yeah. Along with Strong Bad, what was his name? Vogelbach.
Vogie.
You know, but I mean, we haven't had a true first baseman since Prince. I mean,
yeah.
Tames had his time, and what's his name? Who ended up down to the Mariners?
Yeah, exactly. Carlos Santana. We had this last year.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
No, who ended up down at the Marlins?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Jesus Aguilar.
Aguilar. Which I think we should never let go.
Don't give up on Jesus.
So I guess Wendy, what I want to ask you is, do you think, like, when they first traded Burns, like, I got like pissed. Like, I got pissed when they traded
Hader.
Like, immediately, like, just rage. Like, what's going on here? But then someone explained to me, like, in very calm terms, that, like, the best, you know, like, it doesn't seem like a lot. Like, yeah, you could hold off on him to, like, for a midseason trade if he's doing well, if he hasn't exploded his elbow, if there something doesn't go wrong. Do you believe the Brewers made the right move on Burns at the time that it happened?
You know, I think they did. And I will say, I was in the same boat you were. I was so sad to see him go. He was just such a pinnacle. You know, fantastic leader and pitcher. He was just all of the things.
Cy Young award winger, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, looking back on it with a new perspective, I guess, we did end up benefiting from trading him when we did and how we did. He also deserved, I think, a little bit more than what the Brewers were able to give him. So I was happy that he got his big paycheck. He deserved it. And in the long run, I think it ended up allowing us to potentially make those big moves with players that are going to end up serving us for longer than Burns ever could have. So I think it was the best move at the time. Oh, it was a gut punch, but it allowed us to kind of move on that forward trajectory that will hopefully make us a contender, you know, this year, even in a couple of next year.
So the way that the Brewers have worked out so far, it's kind of a youth movement. I know that you're basically, we call on you for a strong suit of being baseball with the Brewers, but you're from Wausau. There's no way you're not a Packers fan, like, to the core. Like, do you see kind of a youth movement with the Brewers, like what the Packers are doing? You know, sans like Reese Hoskins coming in like that. You know, you got to have some of those older players like that. It kind of feels like they're kind of on the same trajectory right now, right?
Yeah, no, it really does. And I think there's a lot of really good benefit to creating this young team, because not only do you get these fresh guys who are so eager and, you know, so willing to put in, you know, 120%. But you also can start building that chemistry with each other. And, you know, I think that's invaluable. I think when you are able to do that, and of course, you know, have a couple of veterans on the team, like with the Brewers, Yelly and the Packers. Oh gosh, do we have any veterans? Who's our longest tenured Packer now?
No, we got Preston Smith. Preston Smith.
So, you know, to have
and
guys
that, and,
like
and
that.
And that's it. But,
yeah, and that's it.
And Jordan
yeah.
Love, yeah.
Jordan Love, one of the old men on the team now. Yeah.
Jordan Love, yeah.
I've been here for so long. It's been it's been 86 years. I have been starting for 86 years.
Yes, yeah.
Sorry, John. Am I going to stomp? Go ahead. Your turn. Sorry. I've been having fun.
The things that I've noticed the first couple games, and I want to get your take on it, you know, how right or wrong I am here. And the biggest things are, I think the bullpen has looked kind of what we expected. Obviously, having Devin Williams getting injured to start the year and then having McGill getting injured.
That was like when Lucroy got his finger broken by his wife's suitcase. Seriously. Like,
yeah. What a weird.
Williams and Lucroy, man. Williams punched the wall.
Oh, not this time.
2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Not this time, though. This time he just hurt.
Not this time. It was just another weird incident.
And, sorry, John. McGill getting hurt. Definitely puts us in a bad spot. Uribe's looked pretty good the last couple games. He's been hit or miss on a couple of them. But he looked good today. He gave up a walk and a hit, and then he had the pass ball, and then three straight strikeouts to end the game today. Mm-hmm. Getting good early reps from Colin Ray and Joe Ross.
Ross was phenomenal tonight. Really good.
Just lit it up today. So they've been getting kind of unexpected starting pitching, other than Ashby, who kind of blew up yesterday with that Reds team, but that team can hit. The other one, I guess, the ones who really kind of worry me right now, Hobie Milner was not himself and has not looked good. He's given up did he give up a home run in the first pitch the last two outings?
I think so.
I think it was the very first pitch both times. That's been something that's been trying to look at is like, I'm worried about that little point. Peralta's been solid in that first spot. He's got a 0.6 whip right now. I mean, two games, but that's exciting to see in 11 innings.
Fire Freddy. Yep.
15 strikeouts for him, 10 strikeouts for Ross. I think it's 7 today. So
I'm feeling
marginally optimistic about the starting pitching. Very happy about the late inning stuff. The middle innings are where I'm going to be worried about it if we have to get quickly to someone like, we're going to have, you know, Milner have to come out and do these things. Miller has been all right. Wilson. Bryce Wilson has looked pretty good in his couple little bits where he's come in those spots. So those are just kind of the ones. Hudson's looked all right, and his couple of times. I'm just kind of worried about the middle pitching. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's where I'm most concerned too. We have, you know, our starters have been doing what they need to do to get through 6-7 innings. They're getting those strikeouts, keeping the runs at bay, but it's that like sixth inning to like eight that just is, it's been sloppy. I think we are struggling the most with that. I was actually talking to my husband, Mike, tonight about that. And, you know, last year or last season, it was our offense.
You talk to your husband?
I know, right? Sometimes.
I need you to talk to my wife. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Last season it was our offense who couldn't keep up with our defense. I mean, we would leave guys stranded on the bases and, you know, Burns would throw an immaculate game it would all be ruined because our offense couldn't score.
That was Burns' entire career with the Brewers, though. I'm going to throw nine innings and one run ball and lose 1-0.
Burns meet Ben Sheets, you know.
I hated losing Burns, but god dang, I hope that he goes in Baltimore or wherever the rest of his career is because the next day too, like Kobe Milner would start on out of nowhere and give up 7 runs and the Brewers would score 9.
Exactly.
Like, why couldn't we score? Like, you know, it's that what's the coach from the Wild, Jacques Lemaire.
Jacques Lemaire.
You scored too many goals tonight, boys. You should have saved some goals for tomorrow night. Why did you score so many goals tonight?
I'm trying to think. Ben Sheets had the phenomenal year, but it was then Chris Capuano who ended up with 18 win season. You're like, how's Capuano keep winning? Almost got to 20. Teddy Higuera is still the last 20 game winner. My other major concern right now is actually our corner fielding. Santana and no, forgetting his name, but Santana gave us very good glove at first. Like, he was a very good defensive first baseman, played very well out there. Tellez, to underrated glove at first base. And Monasterio was amazing at third last year. Just lights out. Yeah. It killed. Now we're playing Bowers and Ortiz either at first.
Bowers. Yeah. I'm Bowers a little iffy on Bowers.
Me. He is killing it right now. He's had three errors in the last 2 days. Two of them throws from third. One of them at first where he just didn't catch a ball. And some people were more mad at Hoskins for not catching one of those ones that he bounced
in yesterday.
And it was yesterday.
A crazy throw. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, like, man, I would much rather see Monasterio. He is the technician at third. His glove, his reaction time, his playing the bare hand is perfect. Good wide hand, grab and throw, always on point. The corners in our fielding have been rough. Adames has been very good, and Terang is a magic person. Like, he's a magician. I can't believe
Terang. Every game that I've seen, I think I've only missed one or two games so far. Yeah. And it's Terang that I'm like, okay, if I were to give game ball to anyone, Terang. Like, it's always Terang. He just shows up in the most important moments. He's got such a good bat. He's batting phenomenally. Right. He's really good out in the field. I am very impressed with him.
Well, and the dude slapped on 25 pounds of meat on his slabs. He's not skinny anymore. Like, that dude was a twig. And they talked about that too. Like, he put on 25 pounds of pure muscle, which obviously hasn't slowed him down. But I mean, that dude was twiggy last year.
There was a great moment.
He was as big as you, Wendy.
I can't remember. Who's...
and now he's, instead of being a Wendy single, now he's a Wendy triple. There we go. Put it all together. Dave would be very proud.
No other sandwich company gives you the triple.
John, why are we sponsored by Wendy's? Come on, look what I just did there.
I was at Wendy's today.
You can make money.
My people tell their people.
I went to Wendy's in Mauston today because I had to do a prelim there, so it was fantastic. No, yeah. Terang batting 353 right now, 12 of 34. Yeah. And this is one of my favorite moments from yesterday's game. It was ridiculous. They were down 8-1, fought their way back to losing only 10-8. And they had runners. Where were they? Were they on the corners? I think it was runners on the corners when the last out was scored. So, I mean, like, the tying run was on base when the game ended.
That was one of the most satisfying losses I've seen in a long time.
Oh, I was almost glad that we lost by two, because if we would have lost by one, I know Willie had that home run stolen from him. So if that would have came down to that one.
There's not a lot of satisfying losses out there. That was one of the most satisfying losses I've ever seen in my life.
Well, because they fought back.
They were down big and in Cincinnati, and it was like, well, this game's over. Oh, no, it's not. And they made a game out of it. Did they lose? Sure they did. But it was like, heck yeah, these guys were just out there just raking and just clawing away and just trying to get back.
Yeah.
Like, but my favorite part was,
like, in Major League Baseball, the way it is, like, once a team's up by seven, like, the other team is just like, all right, let's put the position player in for pitching and we'll call it a day and get this thing over with as fast as humanly possible. They were out there. They were really scrapping, and it showed how fast the Brewers can score runs. The Brewers can score runs in bunches fast, and it was a bad start to the game for the pitching staff. But man, did they come back quick!
Well, my favorite part was still is like this. I can't remember who put the tweet out, but they said, like, Brewers come back down 8-1. Bryce Terang hits a 2-run home run. This isn't a real game. But
who are we watching?
He's been very solid this year so far. 7 RBI through, was it 9 games now? 6-3? Yeah, wherever it is.
He's like if Scooter Gennett got the crystals.
Scooter Gennett.
And also Terang was leading all of baseball in stolen bases. He had three of them in the one game against the Mets. He had three in that one game, which helps.
Those big bases, man. He's taking advantage of that 100%. Yeah.
He's doing great. Ooh. Yeah. Seven stolen bases for him. Yelich with two stolen bases and four home runs. And if Yelich is back, is back, this game is going to be fun to watch this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, Wendy, and that was the next, my long, long question for you was, is Yelly back? I'm sitting here looking at a dude who is looking to hit 81 home runs this year. So through baseballreference.com, through eight games and 35 at bats, we're talking about a 382 average, an OPS of 1.082, four home runs, six RBI, including on Saturday. Saturday, which one? The fifth was Saturday, Friday. That dude hit a 431 home run, 431 foot home run that had an exit velocity of 112 miles an hour.
Woo!
That's
yeah.
And we're only at 400 feet here. This isn't Colorado.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's a huge home run. I mean, he almost put it up in the Johnsonville brought section of right field. Like, it's been a bit for Yelly. You know, you go back and like just going back to the stat sheet here, you know, it's been a rough go. 4 years to come back from
hit right in the kneecap.
A really bad injury, you know, and
back being MVP injury.
And almost being back to back MVP and some allegations of some stuff. Do you, Wendy, really think that he has it in him to be that guy again? Because that's the swagger. Look, the swagger's there. He's surrounded by a bunch of young kids. He looks like Jordan Love with all of his young wide receivers. He really does.
Little ducklings. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think he's got it?
I think he does. I still, for me, I'm going to need to see that consistently play out for at least, you know, a couple more weeks. But if he can continue on the streak that he has been, I will be the first person to say that Christian Yelich is back. he doesn't seem, I don't know. I noticed a lot last season where he was very like timid. And even like when he was running to like catch a ball in the outfield, he was like jaunting. Like he wasn't full speed running. It was just like he didn't care. And this season that has all changed. He is playing with vigor. He is out there, you know, giving it his all. And it's really refreshing because I haven't seen this Yelly in a hot minute. And, you know, I think being now a veteran on this team, a lot of these younger guys are going to look up to him, you know, and so he has kind of like this bigger role to play. But yeah, absolutely. I think he can definitely be that guy again, maybe not exactly who he was in 2018, but pretty darn close.
Well, and maybe there's something too, you know, I understand that when he was coming back from his injury, Craig Council, who a lot of Brewers fans, including myself, tried to outthink the game. And hopefully he really outthinks the game down in Chicago. Bye. Don't want to talk to you anymore. Anyways, so Murphy just goes and slaps him into the three spot and like, you're a number three hitter again. And that's it. Like, you're the highest paid player on the team. You're the number three hitter. Be a number three hitter. We're not gonna D around with putting you in the first spot, the second. You're the highest paid player on this team. You're going to hit as such. You're going to be that dude. Like let's put you back where you belong.
Let's do this though. Aaron's the one who suggested he go to leadoff before Craig did it. Just so we're clear.
No, I'm here. I will 100%. No,
you're right.
No, just to get him back on back on track. But Craig never
and you were right. Back. Yes,
I was right at I was 100% right.
You're exactly right. I'm gonna say that.
I called Craig by 3 weeks on putting him in the leadoff spot just so that he could get the first pitches of the game and just let him hit and not be in that position. Yeah. But now he's back in there, and now you know put putting Sal in front of him, like, free, like, that dude's awesome. Like, me and John were at his debut game.
We were.
John and his beautiful family let me and his, me and my family come and sit in the box with them for his first major league game.
He got called up for that day.
Yeah. Where he decided to play bumper cars with the wall. And it was great. And that dude's awesome. They've got a lot of good, and Willie's looking better. Like, everyone's looking better on this team.
Yeah.
The energy is up. Somehow you went from a young manager that was, you know, this savant of baseball, and now all of a sudden you get this curmudgeon Murphy that's like an old school manager. And all of a sudden all the young kids are like, hey, we're going to play for grandpa. You know, like, we're going to go out there. We're going to kill it. And I think it's going to work out well.
But
so Wendy, who's your favorite player on, like, my kids love Willy Adames. I'm a big fan of Contreras because I was catcher growing up. I was catcher and then went to third base. Who's your favorite player? Like, just stats aside and everything else, like, who's your favorite player?
Oh man, Willy Adames. I have loved him since he came on the show. Oh, okay. Actually, I have a funny story real quick. So Mike proposed in Milwaukee. He gave me a Brewers jersey with his last name on it. And we were in Milwaukee. After we got engaged, we had plans to go to the Brewers game, and I had my Willy Adames jersey with me, but I was like, you know what? I gotta wear this new Medeiros jersey. So I wore the Medeiros jersey to the Brewers game, and we were sitting right behind the Brewers dugout, and I was able to get Willy Adames' signature after the game. He like came up and signed my shoulder, and I immediately was like, oh, I'm not wearing my Willy Adames jersey. I'm wearing my Medeiros jersey. And Mike to this day does not like Willy Adames because his signature is on Mike's jersey.
It would have worked out so much better if they would have called up some utility player from AAA named Medeiros. Like, yeah, right? There's a Medeiros signature on the Medeiros jersey. That didn't work out this well. No. Adames is awesome. Willie's
so great.
Oh, he's
just the life of the team, like the lifeblood of the team.
Yeah.
And actually I think that's what helps Yelich. Yelich doesn't have, Yelich has never been that dude. Like, Yelich is like Joe Mauer. Like, he's really good. He's the star of the team, but not vocal. And I think it's a compliment. I think it should be a good compliment that, you know, let Willie be there. Trang is, like, we've been just talking about, like, Trang's on the up and up, man. Like, that dude's gonna be awesome. Reese Hoskins, he's like a hockey player at first base.
He really is.
Sales out there, and then you got that kid out in right field, in Jackson Churio, who is the unknown. And then let's not forget about Contreras. Right.
Contreras
is the best player on the team. He is a catcher. Mm-hmm. He is a silver slugger. You know, Yelly, I mean,
velocity in the game. He's got the highest exit velocity in baseball right now.
Yeah, Yelly's the best player on the team, but Contreras is the best player on the team because he plays a tough position and he's really good. Like he's the best. And the fact that he gets snubbed about so many things, it's
mine is still, and this will be weird, Garrett Mitchell. Mostly, I mean, like, from what I've seen of him,
we haven't even talked about Mitchell,
and I always give extra because, kind of like, if the Packers have a good D lineman, that's probably going to be my favorite player because that's what I played, and I'm excited for the D lineman and defensive players. But I love outfielders, and he is such a great fielder. He's so fluid, he's so fast, and his bat when he's out there is good. I mean, he broke a finger. I mean, I don't know what you can do about that. Things happen.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see him come back and see Blake Perkins go back to, you know, just sometimes playing instead of having
Perkins
to be out there.
Had quite the game tonight. He did very well.
Was he 3-for-3?
I think so.
He was at one point. No, he ended 3-for-5. He was 3-for-3 to start, though.
This team is too stupid to fail.
Here's a couple things that do bother me with the team right now. Let me give you a couple things here. Terang and Frelick are batting 7-8 on this team right now because we have done leading off. Why are we leading off with a third baseman? That doesn't make any sense to me. Put Frelick back in that one spot. He's batting 353 right now. No, I'm sorry. He's batting 324 right now. Terang batting 353. Make those guys up. Move them up. One of them should be in the leadoff because they've got incredible speed. I mean, Terang's leading the league in stolen bases and batting 350. Why is he batting 8?
Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't make any sense in this group.
Let's transpose it back to the Packer thing. Like, let's talk about the youth movement. Like, how the first part of last season for the Packers, you just had to test things out. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's our Bunsen burners. Here's our beakers. We're gonna work this stuff out. Like, here's where they were batting last year. Like, let's not move them up too fast. Like, these are kids. Like, they are kids. Very young.
Yeah. I mean,
like, hey, let's put Cheerio number one. Dude, no. This kid should still be in AAA. But because of the way that the Brewers are building their team, like, you gotta safeguard it a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. You know,
Frelick was batting up there last year, though. I mean, like,
you put Cheerio number one overall, lead off, you put him lead off, and he fails.
I get putting him at 6 or 7, somewhere in that range. You know, behind your big power hitters, and let him just kind of cook in that back area.
Yeah.
Sal, though, I'd like to see higher in the order. Terang, I get, you know, like you're saying. It's where he was last year, and he started hot, but maybe you keep him where he's comfortable.
Just let him be comfortable. This isn't the year, or it might be the year when we, just like I said with the Packers last season, mm-hmm. like it's not the year, or it could be the year if you do it right. Like, just let him cook in the back. Like, don't put him in a bad
All right.
We're a small market. Like, it's not, you know, we've got Yelich. That's it. We got Yelich and Contreras, and that's it. That's our big shield. So those are our superheroes up front. Like, all these other kids are still trying to figure it out. And these kids will be good players for us down the run and eventually sign with the Yankees. But in the meantime, let's figure it out. I mean, it's a good play. Like, don't put them up front and, you know, put Dunn up there because why not? Because
trade him to the Orioles. I think there are Jets.
Yeah,
we sent Hardy to the Orioles. We sent Corbin Burns to the Orioles.
That's where JJ Hardy went too.
Yeah, that's it.
And JJ Hardy. Yeah, that's right.
Bye.
By the way, the Orioles first season they were the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh my god, that's right.
Hey, by the way, this might
mind blown.
Right? John, this might be up here with one of our best podcasts ever
so far. It's going great. I want to throw.
We're doing great right now. I wish you would have put out our Twitter can at the beginning.
We'll get to it too. Here's my one. I want to throw this. This is my general manager hat going on, and it's invisible. Mm. You guys can't see it. It's going on now. What I would like to kind of see is my crazy general manager thing. Put Adames at third, put Terang to short, and then put Monasterio at second. You can keep all your big bats there. You'll have the better glove at third. You can let Adames be who he wants to be, which is the guy who hits for power more than average, because he could hit for better average. He wants to be a power hitting guy. We could have him be a more traditional third base guy and let him just swing out of his socks every time, which he wants to do. Terang came up as a shortstop. He can play short. He could play wherever. He's got the range to do everything there. And then, I mean, it's essentially in batting, you're replacing Dunn with Monasterio, who also, by the way, came up shortstop and then got put at third.
Okay.
I just think of this as like, trying to get them into spots where their position allows them to kind of free up how they bat a little bit, and we wouldn't suffer anywhere in terms of glove.
Every major leaguer came up as a starting pitcher and a shortstop.
And a shortstop.
Right? Yeah. They came up through the minors.
Those are the two positions I played.
Yeah. And it's just like field. The NFL. Yeah, they were the running back, and now they are the gunner on the punt team.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's crazy.
I do like that idea a lot, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it frees up, more than anything, I think it frees up Adames to be the player he wants to be.
Because yeah.
I would really like to see a shortstop hit for better average than what he did last year. And I think after he had that big home run season where he hit the most home runs a shortstop for Milwaukee's ever hit, I think he just decided that's who he was going to be. Is I'm a dude who hits home run. I hit dingers, you know.
I hit dingers.
What was his name for the Minnesota Little League kid? I'm Big Al, and I hit
dingers.
Don't
make me reach that far back in my brain.
Big Al.
Is that what he was? I can't remember.
Big Al and I hit dingers. Oh, my God. You got it. Nailed it, Wendy. Yeah. No, I mean, if you put two rang.
It is Big Al. I'm so happy I got that right.
Two rang at shortstop. Oh, by the way, not so humble host,
Cheddar Talk.
At Cheddar Talk. And Wendy, what's your handle, by the way?
Wendy Luhu 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay.
Make sure everybody knows how to find this so they can tell me how stupid I am as a general manager and that I should shut up.
Your hat looks great on you, though.
Yeah, I know, right? Shut up and stick to law and stay out of baseball.
Shut up and stick to law.
That'll be my theme song. I should shut up and stick to law. All right. When I look through the Picota, the Brewers are picked to finish like fourth in the division, I think. They're projected at a losing record. I think it's 79 wins was the preseason projection, with the Cardinals winning the division, followed by
that's not happening.
Well, I don't know. They did go out and get pitching. They did go out and get some pitching this year, which was their biggest problem.
That's true.
Last in the division right now. So to be very clear, right now, they're 12 games in and 6-6. The only team that doesn't have a winning record in the Central, by the way, right now. Because now, Brewers to 7-3, Pittsburgh 9-3, Cubs 6-4, and Reds 6-5.
Pittsburgh was leading the division for like a month last year too.
Yeah.
And
I think there's
where that went.
There's so much good young talent in the Central right now. I just think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think the Brewers have a real good chance of finishing above 500 again. They're dinging them for losing Burns, yes. And they're dinging them for losing Council. They're saying Council's going to cost them games by not being there. What are your thoughts in terms of you don't have to give me a number for wins, but kind of where do you think they end up this season?
I was like, ooh,
all
I don't
hard
know
questions.
If they're going to. I know all the hard questions. I didn't honestly, I wasn't sure. I thought they would get like slightly above 500. But then they started playing and I was like, okay, maybe they can flirt with an 80, five season win or 85 game season win. I kind of, going back to the Packers analogy or the Packers, I guess, the very, alignment that these teams
analogy
have.
There we go.
Analogy. There we go.
There we go. Got it.
I know words. They, the Packers are also a very young team, and the beginning of the Packers season, no one thought they were going to do well. Jordan Love's first season, like we kind of went into it with very low expectations, which, I thought in the end was a blessing because there wasn't that pressure that there wasn't, as Packer fans, we always, we've been very blessed to be able to have this, but we've always just won. We've been the team that has been the team.
Not when I was little. when I was little, they were not good.
But I think the Brewers, you know, are kind of following along in that same line. I think no one expects them to do well. They have a new manager. We have, you know, not the same pitching that we did last season. We have a very young group of guys. And so I think the general public, as well as the competition, essentially, is looking at the Brewers as an easy win. Or not an easy win, but I think a team that they, you know, shouldn't really be scared of. And I think the Brewers can be that team. I really do. There's just something different about them this year. I don't know if it's the manager. I really love what Murphy has done so far. He's brought this new life to the team. There's this consistency. There's this camaraderie. I don't know. I think I would love to see them finish second in the division, and I think that's a very high possibility. So I'm going to say they're going to finish second. I have no idea, honestly, who's going to be number one, because, like you said, the NL Central is really cooking with some talent.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on point, Wendy. What's the money line? What's the over-under for me and John to bet on? Me and John are going to bet $25 on whatever number you say. What's your win total for the Brewers this year?
Ooh, win total for the Brewers. I'm going to say,
Oh, don't worry about it. It's just $25, and you know.
Just $25. Okay, I'm gonna say 92.
Holy wow!
Ooh, 92. Okay, ooh. So John, what do you want? Over or under 91.5.
See, 85 is kind of the number I was thinking too. Actually,
85. Yeah.
So that's kind of, I'm gonna go under that number, because I don't know how the starting pitching holds up.
I guess I'll take the over then.
Okay. I like the offense this year. I'm just worried about.
I thought you were just. I put you on the spot, and then you said 92, and I was like, "Oh dear."
Oh.
I don't.
I'm putting it out into the universe.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with that. $25 is like two beers at Miller Park that are at Amfam Field, though. So I think I think we can make that up in a heartbeat. So
like five or six beers downtown here. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta hope the Brewers are over 92 or over 91.
Well, we've won seven so far, so we're almost we're.
Yeah. I mean, by math alone, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Played an easy schedule to start off with. We swept the Mets.
Minus the Mets.
Yeah, the Mets have not been good. They just couldn't get anything going. But the Twins
weren't easy.
Twins are a legitimate team. The Mariners are a good team, a young team like the Brewers, who have a lot of good talent. Julio Rodriguez is amazing. Two out of three with that one. Man, getting to a rubber match here with the Reds on the road, that's nice. So I think it's just going to be – it's going to depend on the starting pitching and what they can get out of that and if they can keep that healthy and going. And I'm quite – The other one, that, I mean, before we get you out of here, somewhat here, Wendy, because we're going to run out of time, is do you think we see Jacob Mizorowski at any point this year?
Oh!
Do you? Because I'm very hopeful.
Who is that?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so hopeful. I'm so hopeful we do.
He was pitching, he was with Wisconsin last year, right? With the Timber Rattlers. Dude's throwing like 103 in high A league, and you're just like, holy crap, what is this? crazy arm. I don't think he's gonna be. I don't know. I'm hopeful. It would be great to see him because he's just so exciting to watch.
Yeah, hometown guy.
Yeah, so
that would be so great.
And as a Polak, we need more skis in pro baseball.
More skis in baseball.
I do have my Pivo Varzi jersey, or, you know, t-shirt, whatever. So,
there you go. Yeah.
Which is the Polish days they do. They have Pivo Varzi, and they still don't let Stosh win the Huff race. What were all the names? We went over this before. Can you name all the hot dogs or all the sausages, Wendy? Do you know all their actual names?
Oh, other names? Oh my gosh, no, I don't.
Oh my God, John, I was just gonna ask her that. You trampled me asking.
Wow, I didn't even know they had names, guys. Oh, yeah. What?
Shoot, I'm trying to remember the one because it's Frank Furter.
Oh my God, here I am.
Oh, Frank Furter.
Frank Furter is the hot dog. Stosh is the Polish sausage.
Well, my question is when it was going to be
Guido.
Who does she always cheer for?
Yeah.
Oh, Guido. Isn't Guido the Italian?
Italian sausage. Yeah, we went straight just absolute just stereotype names because Polish jokes are always Stosh and Rosie. So they put Stosh for the Polish sausage.
Brett Wurst.
Yeah, Brett Wurst. That's right. Frankie Furter.
Oh, Cinco.
Cinco's the easy chief one. Yeah, yeah. Just he's the fifth one. They called him Cinco.
Oh, Chorizo. I always cheer for Chorizo. That's my boy. So.
Yeah, he's the best. They need to do a Cheerio Chorizo crossover at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm on
oh,
board.
Just,
I'm
oh,
sold.
Just a giant. Yeah, just like how Cinnamon Toast Crunch has a churro.
Or like just, a bobblehead with
just a giant churro running down the. Hey, Wendy. Before you go, let's cross over to Packers just for a second here, because you're a Wausau girl.
I am a Wausau girl.
So yeah, did you know that there was a giant felt training? Anyways, that's another story for another day. Anyhow, John, you can edit that part out. Anyhow, so what are your thoughts on the Packers season going forward with Jordan Love and how things have changed? I mean, how do you think the team's too young? Where do you think it was after the team, whomped the snot out of the Cowboys? Oof, in Dallas,
yeah.
And then disappointedly lost to the 49ers like we do on a regular basis. So where are you at with the Packers right now?
I'm hopeful. I think last year proved that this young team can do a lot. And, you know, they already exceeded, I think, a lot of our expectations. I went into it a Jordan Love stan. I think he has just... you know, such an incredible person for this job. I wish he would have gotten the opportunity sooner. The first couple games were definitely a little rough. I remember sitting at a bar with my sister just yelling at him at the TV, like, no. Like, we actually walked out at one point just so distraught. But then he turned things around.
I picture you more as a calm person. You actually get fired up.
I was more Lindsay, stuffing my face with food while my
give me something to throw at the TV right now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But yeah, a lot of hope. I think that coming off of such a huge season last year, they, you know, can only just hopefully keep that momentum going.
Well, here's what I told Aaron last year about the Packers and how I'm going to approach the Brewers this year as well is like my dog watching me cook bacon. He's going to watch the whole way. He's going to watch the whole way. He has no logical reason to believe that today will be a day that I drop bacon to him, because it's never happened. But he's going to watch the whole way, and he's going to hope. He's going to live with that kind of hope. And that is how I watched the Brewers at this point and how I watched the Packers last season.
My goodness. I love that so much. I'm going to get that framed on my wall. That is so great.
Watch the Packers like a dog watching me cook bacon. Yeah.
So completely offline, though, you're out there in Colorado. How is the whole feeling with the Broncos with Russ leaving like less than 60 seconds? How is that? How is that whole thing for everybody out there? Connection UW Badgers.
Yeah. Dangerous.
You know, I just thought it was the silliest move in the entire history of the NFL to give that man the contract that he did without having even seen him play. It was bonkers. And then he played how he had been playing, and then he walked. So.
Does everybody out there hate him or?
I don't think they hate him. I think they are more upset with Elway for just, you know, completely taking their team into the ground.
Fantastic.
Okay. Terrible.
I'm done with that question. Okay. John's going to wrap up the last 4 minutes here.
I have our last question that I do have for you. Also, sticking in our Packers theme. While Andy Herman has not committed to this, possibility that the Packers will be playing their first game in Brazil? If so, are you going
in Brazil? I'm in. Like, swear to God.
Are you going? You and Mike in?
Brazil? Are you kidding? Oh, my gosh. Yes.
See?
Yes.
All right. Andy hasn't committed that he would be going, but I don't know. I got to start talking to my wife about that one then.
I need it. I mean, we were thinking of going to one game next year, and if it's Brazil, I wouldn't be mad about it.
Right? Yeah, that sounds fun. All right. Well, thank you again, Wendy. Wendy Lou Who 3 on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. We're always glad to have you. Follow her. She always puts up good things and frequently beautiful photos of mountains and such. So it's fantastic follow. Hey, please say goodbye.
And thank you for doing that, Wendy. We love that you're loving life. You're
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys.
You're an inspiration to some of us that have depressing lives. And like, let's look at what Wendy's doing right now. Oh, there's Fort Collins.
She's in a lake in the mountains with shorts on. No, that sounds amazing.
There's somebody who sees life and carpe diem.
Carpe diems.
All the DMs, yes.
All the DMs, yes.
All right, thank you, Wendy. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Bye.
See you, Wendy. Bye.
Bye.
All right, and from that high mountain of good feelings and high expectations, we'll go to the Bucks, who started with high expectations and then brought us all the way back down. I mean, that's something I can say for a team that is currently second in the East.
I mean, they're trending up, and they just beat the Celtics tonight.
They did beat the Celtics in a weird game. They scored, was it 6 three-pointers in the first quarter, got up big and just kind of held on. Mm-hmm. Tatum didn't play.
Only scored 15 in the third. It was weird.
It was a strange game.
Yeah, Giannis got hurt.
That's the biggest part of what we learned here is Giannis, and it was untouched. He inbounded the ball, passed it, and then took like 3 steps and then went to the ground holding his calf. He's going to get an MRI, and we don't know what's going on yet. So
that's Teddy Bridgewater stuff. So
He didn't like collapse. He was running and then reached down at his calf and then just went down and then kind of slid a little bit. And the refs waited until they crossed half court, and Doc Rivers comes all the way onto the floor holding his hand up and pointing at Giannis, who was clearly on the ground. It was weird that it took that long for them to stop play.
Giannis is the worst example of like when to stop play. Like James Harden will let you know when to stop play. Giannis might just jump back up from that though, and then like catch
the way he went down though. He was.
I mean, but that's the thing. Like he's like the worst example of like when to stop a game for something like that because the guy never goes down.
But it was just this one was so weird. I'm saying
he went down with a hamstring injury a couple days ago too. That was not good either. Like. Yeah.
This one was just. You watched it, right? You were watching the game on this one when he went down. Like he's just walking. He's just walking, and then
I did not see the injury at that point.
Even rewound it to double check where it happened because I was like, "What? He's just walking," and then just grabs at his calf and then just sits down. You're like, "That's they should have stopped that way earlier than it did." Mm-hmm. I had to catch up. I was behind, so I started because I have Bally, so I was able to watch that and the Brewers and kind of. Fast forward through commercials on stuff. And yeah, that was rough. Bucks still, even in this win today, both teams just look massively disjointed and rebounds were weird. And when Cornette is just kicking your butt on the boards, you need to reevaluate your life. And some of them do. Bobby Portis again played fantastically. Dame had a couple really, really good shots.
You see some words that kill me for how smart you are.
What's that?
Fantastically is not a word.
Fantastically. In a fantastic manner. Yes, that's a word.
But you say fantastically.
He played fantastically.
Like, you say, you
it's
say
an adverb.
Very,
I describe
you say it
this
in a very
verb
northern Wisconsin adverb. Way. I'm watching you say it, and I'm just like, that's not a word.
Oh, that I mean, there, that I know, was fantastic. I know
it's a
word, but
the way you're saying it, it's not a word.
Don't you dare with me.
I no, love you so you much. It's just the way you say it.
So funny. We did get to see Charlie Barron this weekend. So
the Bucks are effed.
They lost four in a row. They lost to the Knicks, who are right behind them.
I know.
They're going to get jumped by the Knicks. They're going to be the four seed. Like, oh my gosh. They have to play the Magic twice now. The Magic are currently the hottest team in basketball. They're going to jump them. The Magics are they're going to pass them. I don't see how they don't at this point. And then we're just going to deal with
playing the five seed. I'm not sure, like, the whole on Twitter, the whole GIF meme world, you know, just Griffin has – his stats are way better for the first half as being head coach since they got Doc Rivers, and it's just –
Yeah, I shared that with you, and Wallace. I tagged you and shared it on Twitter. Yes,
I mean, you know, when Griffin was head coach, we had Robin Lopez, reading books on the sideline, and Giannis staring up at the top of the rafters, like, "What's going on here?" And now it seems completely disjointed.
There are times I don't know who's supposed to be going to get rebounds. The switches on defense are sometimes even weird. Their defense is definitely better than it was, but I think almost it's like they're spending so much time making their defense better. Defense is the most exhausting part of a game, which is why the NBA doesn't play it, because they don't want to waste their time keeping other people from scoring. But I mean, like, I think they're just putting so much energy into it, they're not getting out there. They don't have
the young teams. The young teams that want to succeed in the NBA are the Oklahoma Cities and such are busting their asses to be the best team that they can be. They're the Bucks that were 6 years ago.
Yeah,
the Bucks that lost to the Toronto Raptors in the East Finals. The Bucks are now turning into the Lakers that had so much talent, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's with Magic Johnson, the Kobe's with the Shaquille O'Neal's, except for the fact that they don't have that talent level. You can't just coast with that. Like, I know we have Dame, I know we have Giannis, I know we have Chris, but the one thing that Kobe and Shaq had is that they played every game. They were always there.
Yeah, they didn't play very hard during the regular season. Shaq did not play, notoriously did not play well in the regular season.
Well, not well at all, but I mean, but they were always there.
Like, he could turn it on. He's different. He's just different.
Yeah, I mean, Shaquille O'Neal is a generational talent, and Giannis has to be on his top game every game for the Bucks to win. And Dame's great. I mean, it's weird. I mean, I do believe with my heart that they will make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. In which case, if it's against the Celtics, they'll win. Because they have the Celtics number. I mean, they do have the Celtics number.
That's the only team in the series. Yeah, I believe
that's the only team in the East that they've got their number. Like
they gotta get past the Magic. Yeah. Here's the biggest thing I've noticed over the last several games is teams have figured out that the best way to get points in the Bucks and to get open shots is they make a cluster at the top. Like, they come in and they'll bring one big and a guard, and they'll have all three of them, and they'll bring all the defenders up to the top, and then they'll all kind of picks and scatter, and then suddenly they're getting open shots from inside the paint that don't make any sense, and there's nobody there to block or rebound because they've pulled everybody away. And they've been able to make that work, and I haven't seen the Bucks adjust to it yet. And that's what Doc needs to adjust to that.
That's the Nick Nurse. It's literally a 4-year-old blueprint.
Yeah,
that's what Nick Nurse used to do. Just put them all up at the top of the key, and then scatter after Giannis breaks them all apart.
Yeah, I mean, like, then just leave Brooke low, or tell Giannis to stay low, because you don't let him make him. Somebody's got to find. They have to figure out a way to deal with that. Because the Bucks don't do that to other teams. Or the Bucks should try doing that to other teams.
Except to the Celtics. They have no problem with the Celtics.
No, but they don't run that play. They just kind of, I'm not really sure what their offensive philosophy is at any point, really. It's just, he's kind of hoping somebody's going to save him with the amount of talent they've got to score. But I don't know. We'll see. They're in the playoffs. I think there's a really good chance they're a four seed by the time this thing ends. They got to play the Magic twice, and I don't know that that's going to go particularly well, but we'll be watching. We'll be watching. So until then, this is about all the time we've got for a week show here, so we'll get back into that. We'll talk more, Bucks and Brewers and whatever else next week, and we'll be back here as good as we've ever been. Sadly, though, without Wendy.
I mean, we have never bet on this show before, but apparently now we have a bet that.
Oh, 91.
I have the over on 91.5 on the Brewers wins this year.
We'll see that, and it's recorded, so it'll be good.
Because I love Wendy, and I.
Good deal. All right, everybody.
Because I brought it up and I fell on that sword because it was like, when she said 92, it's like,
oh, yeah. I'm going to lose some money.
Well, that's a grand sentence. But since I brought it up, John.
All right. Thank you for joining us again, everyone, for another wonderful week of Wisconsin sports. We're glad to have you, whether you're in Wisconsin, across the United States, or around the world. It's always good to have you here with us talking Wisconsin sports. Remember as well that whether you're on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.